From Charlotte, North Carolina, welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters. The following program was previously recorded. Today is a special edition of the Bible Answer Man program. The local churches have been a source of controversy for many years within the Christian community. Today, Hank discusses this movement with two of its leaders, Andrew Yu and Chris Wild. And now, to tell us more about today's special program, is the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
As always, great to be with you as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Today, I have the privilege of hosting two dear friends, people that I have known for many years now, and in fact had the opportunity to go to the great country of China with. Andrew Yu and Chris Wild join me now in studio, and they know a little bit about the persecuted church. They know a lot about China, and I want to start today's broadcast by asking them about China. And the reason I'm so interested in China is we hear about China over and over again. For example, I remember when Shirley Dobson, when she was the chairperson of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, asking me to pray for the persecuted church in China. And the first thought that flashed through my mind was, I hope, I pray that the persecuted church in China is praying for us. And the more I have thought about that, the more I recognize that that is perhaps a sentiment that we should embrace. Because the church that has been forged in the cauldron of persecution has a lot to say to the Western world. They are not a microcosm of their culture. They are change agents in the culture. And all too often in Western Christianity, pop culture beckons and postmodern Christians take the bait. All of that simply to say we have a lot to learn from the persecuted church in China. And I have a lot to learn from my guests today, Chris Wild and Andrew Yu, both of whom know about persecution not only in the East, but in the West. Let's start out today, as I welcome you to the broadcast, talking about how the church, the modern church, was actually forged in China. Chris.
I think, Hank, if you look back, most people who have studied the church in China historically would trace its modern roots to the early part of the 19th century. The first Western missionary that we have record of that made his way to China was a young man from England named Robert Morrison, and the Lord called him at a very early age, 16, 17 years old, and put China in his heart. And so he attempted first, being a Brit, to book passage on a vessel from the East India Company, which controlled all of the sea lanes and the trade between Britain and China, mostly from really between Europe and China at that time. And he was, once they discovered what his purpose was, to go and preach the gospel to the inhabitants of China, the company refused him passage because they were very concerned about protecting their economic interests, and they were afraid that this, you know, knowing the sensitivity of the Chinese to things Western and how they might view that as a threat to their culture, they were afraid that if, you know, they were associated with this kind of an effort, it would disrupt the commercial interests between the two, and so they refused him passage. But his burden and his calling were very legitimate, very genuine. So he made his way to New York and persuaded a sea captain there to give him passage. And so as a young man of 17, on his own, went to Macau, which is, as you know, very close to China. And that was one place where Westerners could go and reside. At that time, China itself was off limits to any Westerners, with the exception of a small section of the city of Canton, where the trade went on between the British and the Europeans and Americans. And so eventually Robert Morrison was able to make his way into that part of Canton and begin to preach the gospel in a very limited fashion. And so that probably is the starting point, I would say.
And then there was a time, Andrew, in which there was an incredible cultural revolution that took place in China, where the whole Chinese culture was turned on its head.
Yes, that was 1967, when the whole country turned against, firstly, its own traditional culture, and then also the Christian religion. And Bibles were burned, churches were desecrated, Christians were put into prison, and many suffered for their faith. It was a fiery ordeal. I believe similar to the persecution in the first century during the Roman Empire. But the present church, the present movement of believers, all came out and was born out of this suffering. And today, you know, the number of Christians in China ranges anything from 80 million to 100 million real born-again Christians, both in the registered church as well as in the unregistered churches, which I believe is a real modern miracle and a real phenomena in the 20th and the 21st century.
Andrew, you and I have been friends for a long time, and I have a great deal of respect for your spiritual tradition and heritage. Your heritage and spiritual tradition can be traced back to a man named Watchman Nee, who actually died in a communist prison in China in 1972. Talk about that.
He was apprehended in 1952, and for the next 20 years, which was the prime of his ministry and the prime of his life, the Lord chose to put him away in prison, and he died in 1972. But his messages and his ministry survived. And I came in to a personal knowledge of the Lord through his ministry. My parents were associated with the ministry of Watchman Nee. My mother was saved through his co-worker. My father actually at one time worked with him. And so I would consider myself the second generation. I probably met him when I was very, very young, but I do not have recollection of Watchman Nee. But ever since I began seeking after the Lord, I was very much attracted to his writings, which I detected a depth that is seldom found in other writings of the same kind. And so very soon I became a disciple of his teachings. And ever since then, I have appreciated his ministry very much. A number of years ago, we tried to put together all his writings into a 62-volume of the completed works of Watchman Nee, which the Living Stream Ministry publishes. And even today, while his ministry was being put away, his books are being translated into more than 30 languages. And Christianity Today, at the turn of the century, named 100 most influential men, and he was the only person from the Eastern Hemisphere that I know of that is named as one of the 100.
And of course, he had a disciple, Chris, a disciple named Witness Lee, who carried his vision literally now around the world.
That's right, Hank. Watchman Nee, as Andrew pointed out, was raised up by the Lord in the first part of the 20th century, really, I think, began his ministry in about 1922, 23, and began writing in periodicals, and those writings spread throughout China, and other believers were finding them. Witness Lee happened upon one of his periodicals up in the north of China. Watchman Nee was from the south of China, in Fujian province, a city called Fuzhou. Witness Lee was from northern China. Found one of these articles and began reading, and was just shocked. And at the, again, I think the same spiritual quality that Andrew identified. And he assumed that this was written by, you know, an elderly person who had been walking with the Lord for decades, and come to find out he was almost his contemporary. I think there was just a year or two difference in their age. So eventually they connected in Shanghai, and Witness Lee, who had a quite impactful ministry of his own. He was, I think, by any measure, a very effective evangelist, established churches, and had a very significant work of his own in North China. But once he came and met Watchman Nee, he felt the Lord telling him that this is one you need to join yourself to. And so he abandoned his own work in the North, came to Shanghai, and began to labor together. And so that was in the early 1930s, and they really labored together, shoulder to shoulder, until this time of the revolution, the Communist Revolution in 1949. And Watchman Nee was very keen to the political situation, and he had a view of what was likely to happen and the persecution that was likely to follow should the Communists succeed. And I think by that time everyone realized that was probably what was going to happen. So he took the initiative and essentially sent or commissioned Witness Lee to go from China mainland and to take their work. And by this time there was a substantial body of writings that they were publishing in Shanghai under the auspice of the Shanghai Gospel Book Room, and to reestablish that printed ministry outside of China. And so he sent him to Taiwan, which Witness Lee objected and said, "Why do you stay and I leave?" And he said, because Watchman Nee used the analogy of a burning house and the mother in the outside the yard and her children still inside. And then he said, "I have to stay for their sake." And he said, "Well, if you have to stay, I have to stay." And Watchman Nee said, "No, what the Lord has given us is not just for us, not just for China, but he believed that there was a message here for the whole Christian world, and that it, in order to preserve it, someone had to take charge." And so that was his commission to Witness Lee. So eventually he prevailed upon him, and Witness Lee in 1949 did move to Taiwan with a handful of other saints, I think a few hundred believers that migrated or moved to Taiwan to begin the work there. The two of them shared a conference together in Hong Kong about a year and a half later. And that was the last time that they saw each other. And shortly thereafter, Witness Lee went back to Taiwan. Watchman Nee went back into mainland China and was arrested, as Andrew said, in 1952. So Witness Lee began his work in Taiwan in the early 50s. It flourished. Thousands and thousands were saved and brought to the Lord in those early years. Churches were established all over the island of Taiwan. So by the early 60s, it was one of the predominant works in the Protestant church in Taiwan. And at that time, Witness Lee felt very much that the Lord was calling him to move west. And so he relocated into California in 1962 and began the work there.
Kind of interesting. The Ministry of the Christian Research Institute was founded in 1960. And there's a parallel strand that goes on throughout history to the present between the Christian Research Institute and the local churches. Early on, our organization saw the local churches and their distinctives as being dead set against historic Christianity. And in not only the East but the West, there has been persecution against the local churches, the idea being this may be a cultic movement that has very negative ramifications for the Western church. You and I and Andrew and many leaders within the local churches have spent a lot of time together, and I have gone to China with you and have determined on the basis of my primary research that this is an authentic expression of New Testament Christianity. I want to talk to you about what the issues are which are red flags to Western Christianity with respect to the local churches, why people have thought of your movement as a cultic movement, and then I want to take this to a new level and talk about the kinds of inspiration, the kinds of motivations that you can offer to the Western church in terms of your practices, in terms of your principles, and how together we can see how a movement forged in the cauldron of persecution can have an impact on a Western church, which I opened up talking about, a Western church that today is becoming more and more a microcosm of the culture. In other words, instead of being change agents in the culture, We have bought into the materialism of the culture and so often see Jesus Christ as merely a genie who is there to do what we want him to do rather than being the master that we serve. All too often, we are there not because we love the master, but because we love what's on the master's table. The church in China, forged in the cauldron of persecution, is a far different church. They are there because they love the master. And I think if we learn some of the principles of a church forged in the cauldron of persecution, we can too become change agents in our culture and do what the Chinese Christians did. They turned an empire, as it were, upside down. We have the same opportunity that the first century church did, the Chinese church did. We have the opportunity of changing our culture for Christ. We'll be talking about all of that and more when we return from the break in just a few moments.
When was the last time you stopped by our website? It's easy to find at www.equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you can listen to past broadcasts of the Bible Answer Man, order products and materials you hear about on the broadcast, and get expert analysis and reliable research on cults, teachers, and religious movements in our world. It's also a vehicle by which you can contact CRI directly, either with your comment or to give a tax-deductible donation to our ministry. It's the wealth of information and research you would expect from the Christian Research Institute. Again, the address is www.equip.org. Now, there's more of the Bible Answer Man on the other side of this break, so stay with us.
Many scientists, celebrities, and politicians are claiming the world as we know it will be permanently changed, if not destroyed, if we don't act immediately to stop or even reverse the process of global warming. Celebrities like Leonardo DiCaprio and former Vice President Al Gore are spearheading the campaign to go green. But is all the hype about greenhouse gases and melting ice caps based on credible long-term research? Or is it out of touch with reality? In Hank Hanegraaff's new booklet, How Should You Think About Global Warming?, he reduces this highly politicized issue down to its irreducible minimum and provides a basis for thinking rightly about any controversial issue. Included is an interview Hank did with scholar Dr. Jay Richards on our Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll send you Hank's new resource for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI or order online at our secure website, www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Pastor and author Mark Driscoll pens a cutting-edge analysis of a complex new movement called Emerging Church. Elliot Miller concludes his Yoga Boom series by addressing questions like, can yoga be Christianized? Our effective evangelism challenges us with the spiritual maxim, to know Christ and to make him known. The Viewpoint column makes the claim that Christians can engage in politics without losing their soul. Practical Hermeneutics tackles another prophetic failure of Mormon prophet Joseph Smith, while CRI President Hank Hanegraaff answers more difficult Bible questions in Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, now available in new styles. And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition when you call 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
As with the millennium bug or Y2K issue several years ago, the theory of global warming has drawn the support of celebrities and scientists of the highest magnitude. It has even been promoted by the man who was once the second most powerful person in the free world, Al Gore. In Hank's new booklet, How Should You Think About Global Warming?, he reduces this highly controversial and politicized issue down to its irreducible minimum. Additionally, this booklet provides you with an interview Hank did with scholar Dr. Jay Richards on our Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank's new resource is also a great tool to teach proper discernment of any controversial issue. CRI will send you Hank's new booklet as our thanks for your gift to help keep Bible Answers coming for you and for thousands who are asking important questions about how to think Christianly. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or go online 24 hours a day at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, returning with his guests Andrew Yu and Chris Wild from the local churches, is our host, CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
And I'm joined in the studio with Andrew Yu and Chris Wild, two people who I have come to love and appreciate over the last 5 or 6 years or so. And while you're sitting here in the studio during the first segment that we ran today, I was thinking about the first time we met. That's unusual in and of itself, how we got together, because really, as I mentioned, the Christian Research Institute and the local church have a history that might well be described as adversarial at times.
Yeah, that is correct, Hank, and you're right. I couldn't help but thinking back to it myself, that first meeting, which was really forged by a mutual friend, Celie Yates, who's been someone you've known for years and years and who we were privileged to get to know beginning of 2002. And I remember when Celie first suggested to us that we should sit down with CRI and Hank Hanegraaff, it's fair to say we were skeptical, if not terrified, at the prospect because of this history that you refer to an adversarial relationship, an enmity, I guess, is another word you could use to describe it. But Celie knew you, and he also knew us, and I think it was fair to say that he realized that there was the opportunity for a lot of years of misunderstanding to be quickly dispensed with if we had an engagement that really brought us to open our hearts to one another and express the truth as we both knew it. And what was so striking, Hank, in those first few minutes after, you know, the cordialities were over, one of our colleagues just gave a very quick summary of our understanding of the essentials of the Christian faith, the few basic things that compose the faith once delivered to all the saints. And what was so striking was how you carefully listened and examined every word, and then immediately recognized, wait, these are genuine brothers. And what we're having now is genuine Christian fellowship. And Hank, that changed everything in an instant. And it established the basis for this relationship that you've described. And I have related that story many, many times. And from that moment on, there was a coming together in Christ that has just flourished and grown since that minute, isn't there?
One of the things that we do at the Christian Research Institute is research, primary research, and that research is conducted not because we're simply interested in regurgitating information that's been passed on before, but because we really want to do the primary research. And that kind of research, Andrew, involves getting your feet wet and your hands dirty, actually interacting with people, getting to know them as people, and starting to delve into the history and the real beliefs that people hold. For example, there are many people that have held in Western Christianity that the local church movement actually renounces or rejects the Trinity. I discovered by meeting with you and the leadership of the local church movement that you do not reject the Trinity.
No, we do not reject the Trinity. We hold that God is one, but that there's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and all three of them are distinct, but they're not separate, and that they co-inherit and they coexist from eternity to eternity. And that basically is the Bible, and that is the historical Christian faith, which we all hold in common as believers. I believe that a lot of what some misunderstanding have come about is to take some of our sayings and our ministry out of context in bits and pieces and without taking the whole picture. And of course, the triune God is a mystery, and there's a side of three, there's a side of one, and if you only take one side, then you end up being a heresy of either a modalist or a tritheist. And we're aware of all of those wrong teachings that have evolved in historical Christianity. And we say that we're not any of those. We try to be scriptural, and we try to be all-encompassing.
I want to pick up on that for just a moment, because one of the distinctives that I have noted in over 5 years of examining the local church movement is that you guys really care about theology. Theology to you is not a dirty word. You really want to understand essential Christian doctrine, and you embrace the maxim in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity.
You're absolutely right, Hank. We hold very much onto the truth as it is revealed in the Bible, and that a proper understanding of this truth as it is being related. And that's what theology has been doing for the last 2,000 years. And anybody that knows a little bit about it knows that it is an ongoing thing. There, the faith that is being delivered to the saints is once for all, never changes. But how we interpret it or how we explain that to people is always a challenge. And we never say that we hold on to, we're committed to hold on to tradition as such, in as much as Protestantism is different from Catholicism, is that they do not base their faith on tradition. They base on scripture alone. And having said that, whatever that God has done in the past 2,000 years in affirming the faith, we affirm the same. But the final authority for all of us is, of course, the Holy Bible.
That is the final court of arbitration. Look, I don't hold back any punches, and I'm not going to hold back any punches right now. There are a lot of Western Christians who see the local churches as a menace and a threat and as being litigious. You guys have been involved in lawsuits, and people say if someone dares criticize you, you're going to sue them. How do you respond to that, Chris?
Well, thanks for giving me the easy ones, Hank. that charge is definitely out there. To be honest, in the cases that have involved litigation, which if you date back to the early 80s, either directly or indirectly involving our ministry, there are a handful. Every case was preceded by an exhaustive, sincere, genuine effort to come together with those who were not just saying things criticizing our theology or criticizing our practices, but accusations of immoral, illegal, brutal, destructive behavior. And it's on those kinds of things where we have made a point of ultimately, finding no other recourse, being willing, as even the Apostle Paul, when pressed to the maximum, had to appeal to Caesar, we have felt like we had no other recourse but to appeal to court.
Now, was this because you wanted money, or was this because those who call you a cult from a sociological as well as a theological perspective in America are doing great damage to people in far-flung places throughout the world who end up suffering persecution as a result of what is printed in books and magazines and communicated through broadcasts in the West.
Well, it's never, I can tell you absolutely categorically, before man and before God, it has never, ever been about money. In fact, in the first suit, Andrew knows the story better than I, because he was there at that time, I was not. But when Witness Lee was with the lawyer, and the lawyer said, okay, how much are you going to ask for damages? He said, nothing. We don't want damages. That's not what we're interested in. He said, well, no, you know, you don't understand. The way the court system works in America, you have to ask for something. And he responded, okay, then ask for a dollar. And he said, no, you don't understand. That won't be taken seriously. You have to make it a meaningful amount. Now, what is settled on is going to be totally up to what is, negotiated at the resolution of the case. But, you know, to get taken seriously in our judicial system, there has to be a significant monetary value placed. So, you know, I can't remember what the number was at that time. I know what was awarded in that lawsuit as a result of the judgment, the positive judgment that came out of that lawsuit back in the 80s, and I think that the awarded settlement was $11.9 million, virtually none of which was ever collected, and that was never the point. So it's never been about the money, and it's never been about being, again, criticized or challenged on our beliefs and criticism of our doctrine or our teaching. That has no place in the court system, in our mind, or I don't think in any believer's mind. But when you are accused of child molestation and fraudulent activity and rape and extortion and these kinds of social attributes that are ascribed to cults that affect families, that affect jobs, that affect, in China, individuals' liberty, personal liberty, and can result in incarceration or worse, beatings, potentially even death. I mean, that is the point where we felt like we have to draw the line. And I mean, we'll stand before the Lord with that decision one day. But in our hearts, it has been on that basis. And not to even preserve our so-called good name, but only to preserve what we believe is the genuine work that the Lord has committed to us.
On the other side of the break, I want to talk about Gretchen Pasentino. She went to China, and she had an experience that I think bears repeating on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. What she had written had a direct impact on the life of a Chinese Christian who was robbed of a relationship with his daughter for some 17 years. In other words, we need to be very careful about what we write and what we say. I found out on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, after years of broadcasting, almost two decades now, that sometimes I make a throwaway statement and someone in radio land is making a life decision based on that statement. So we are called to be stewards of our words, and we will, as you say, give an account for everything we did. This show has never been about being politically correct or popular. We do what we do because truth matters. Joining me in studio again today, Chris Wild and Andrew Yu, both of whom have a very significant impact on a large movement started by Watchman Nee and his disciple Witness Lee. We're talking about all that and more on today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. When we come back, a gripping story of a real persecution in China. Please don't touch that dial.
Join Hank and Kathy Hanegraaff and their family for seven wonderful days of fellowship, Bible teaching, adventurous expeditions, and more delicious food than you can imagine on our Because Truth Matters cruise of the Mexican Riviera. Christian musician and Grammy Award-winning songwriter Steve Camp joins Hank as special guest. To participate in this event, call our friends at Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 107. That's 877-768-2784, extension 107. Or better yet, access this information on our website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. Hank will be right back after this.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, now available in new styles. And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition when you call 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org.
Now, the ultimate study software is even better.
Illumina, the world's first digitally animated Bible and encyclopedia suite, is available in Gold Premium Edition to make the Bible accessible in fresh new ways.
It contains complete King James and New Living Translation Bibles, more than 1,000 new photos, 10 new mega lessons, 35 high-resolution animations, 25 virtual tours of the Middle East, 10,000 Bible study notes with commentaries, charts, maps, discussion guides, and so much more, all on 5 CDs or 1 DVD.
If you're looking for the most expansive and updated version of Bible and encyclopedia software ever created, Illumina Gold Premium is it.
Transform your time with God. Order Illumina Gold Premium Edition. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. Choose either CD-ROM or DVD. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or order online at equip.org.
Many scientists, celebrities, and politicians are claiming the world as we know it will be permanently changed, if not destroyed, if we don't act immediately to stop or even reverse the process of global warming. Celebrities like Leonardo DiCaprio and former Vice President Al Gore are spearheading the campaign to go green. But is all the hype about greenhouse gases and melting ice caps based on credible long-term research? Or is it out of touch with reality? In Hank Hanegraaff's new booklet, How Should You Think About Global Warming?, he reduces this highly politicized issue down to its irreducible minimum and provides a basis for thinking rightly about any controversial issue. Included is an interview Hank did with scholar Dr. Jay Richards on our Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll send you Hank's new resource for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI or order online at our secure website, www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
We here at the Christian Research Institute have been touched by the generosity of friends who have donated non-cash items to the ministry. The gifts are given through the CRI Foundation and include such things as cars and boats, even real estate. And just as with cash donations, these gifts are tax deductible. To find out more about the CRI Foundation and types of non-cash gifts you can donate to the work and ministry of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, visit our website, equip.org. Once there, click on the Donate Now button and then select the Give a Non-Cash Donation option. Again, the website is equip.org. The local churches have been a source of controversy for many years within the Christian community. Listen as Hank continues his illuminating discussion with leaders from the local churches and Living Stream Ministry. Once again, here's Hank with Andrew Yu and Chris Wild.
The Christian Research Institute has always been involved in primary research. I still remember meeting with the leaders of the Worldwide Church of God and getting involved in analyzing Armstrongism, the kinds of teachings that were being communicated by Herbert W. Armstrong through Plain Truth Magazine, through his broadcast, through his preaching ministry, and we deemed that this was legitimately a cult. And yet I still remember meeting with the leaders of the Worldwide Church of God and being involved in dialogue and watching an entire movement come from cultism to Christ. In fact, I had the privilege of writing the foreword to Joseph Tocaccia's book, Transformed by Truth. the same kind of primary research that I did with the Worldwide Church of God, I did with the local churches. And we came to an entirely opposite conclusion, that the Worldwide Church of God was a cult, but the local church movement was not a cultic movement, either from a sociological or a theological perspective. Now, the Christian Research Institute and Gretchen Pasentino, who did a lot of the work for Walter Martin in the early days, never went so far as to actually declare that the local churches were a non-Christian cult. CRI material stated that the local churches were, at best, an aberrant Christian movement. Witness Lee's writings were said to be contradictory and, at worst, perhaps even heretical, but we never actually deemed the local church movement to be a non-Christian cult. Yet, what we wrote had a dramatic impact on the church in China. And Gretchen Pasentino, who we'll have on the broadcast talking about this in the future, went to China with you, Andrew, and you saw firsthand what happened to Gretchen when she saw experientially the impact of her words in print on a Chinese Christian who suffered mightily as a result of those words.
That's right. And what happened in the last 30 or 40 years was unfortunate, we have to say, because we have never changed. We always believe in the Bible and everything that the Bible says. And our faith has been always very orthodox. But because of the misunderstanding, persecution arose firstly in this country and then also in China. And when I talk about the persecution in China, there's something very personal in my feeling about that, because the experience Gretchen had when she met persecuted Christians, I met manyfold more. Some of the friends that I knew actually died in prison. But when Gretchen and I were in China, I introduced to her a few of the friends that I knew of. And she talked to one brother who, because of being accused of being involved in the cult, was separated from his family, and specifically his daughter of less than 6 months old, and was imprisoned for over 17 years until close to the year 2000. When he came out, she was almost past her teenage. But the most striking thing to me is that all of these believers, none of them hold any grudge or any bitterness against God or against man. They took it all from the Lord. And it's everywhere in the Bible that says that as Christians, we suffer. And for them to be able to participate in this is a privilege. And I would even say that the fact that I'm not being able to be part of that, I find that I envy them. But the fact that it has been unjustified, the fact that it has been misunderstood, is something from the human side. But we believe that behind everything, there is God, and there is Christ as the head of the body. And what God has commissioned us is to speak about how we can enjoy Christ as our life and to build up the body of Christ as a living organism. And those are the two things that we care for very, very much.
Chris, you were actually there when Gretchen encountered this this brother, and there was a poignant scene that unraveled that you can describe to us.
It was, as I look back, Hank, over my 30-odd, almost 40 now, years of being a believer, it was probably one of the two or three most poignant moments in my Christian life. Because as Andrew alluded to, the writings that Gretchen had done or helped with in the early years at CRI also became sort of seminal pieces of resource material for other writings that took their the research to whatever level they had carried it out. And those writings became incorporated in other documents that did go far enough as calling us a dangerous cult. And in fact, in one of the books that was a subject of the lawsuit in the early 80s, compared us to Jonestown. If you remember Jonestown at that time, that was sort of the environment that all of this blew up in. Okay. And Gretchen accepted a personal responsibility in the work that she had done contributing to those writings, as well as the things that had actually been published with her name on it. So in that sense, that's what helped make this such a poignant moment, because some of those writings, the more inflammatory ones and extreme ones, were actually translated into Chinese and taken into China in the early 1980s. And the Chinese elements in the Chinese government latched onto those writings to help substantiate their claims against these non-registered house church groups, and use these. See, this is the example of what these groups do. That's why they're a dangerous evil cult, and that's why we need to stamp them out. And so at that moment in this conversation, Gretchen had this epiphany, really, that her work had contributed directly to this brother's experience that Andrew described. And she was sitting across the table from him. There were several of us in the room. And I remember her coming around the table and down on her knee and grabbing him by the hand and asking him if he could ever forgive her, because she felt personally responsible for those 17 years that had been taken from him. And he said, "Sister, I forgave you 20 years ago." He said, "I knew this was what the Lord had called for me, and I took it from him. So, sister, please get up. I love you in Christ." And, I don't think I need to say much. I think we can all realize the kind of moment that was in that place, and what took place between the two of them.
You see there is genuine Christianity expressed by both Gretchen Pasentino, who has been a model not only from the standpoint of her practical relationship with Christ and the practical way in which she has used that relationship to reach out to people who are trapped in cults, but also from the standpoint of a man who spent the better part of his life in a prison, missing out on the life and experiences of his daughter as she was growing up. I want to turn a corner here because we're almost running out of time, and I think we're going to carry on this conversation, and people can go to the World Wide Web at equip.org and hear the rest of my conversation with Chris and with Andrew on the World Wide Web at equip.org. But let's turn a corner for just a moment and talk about some of the distinctives of the local church that oftentimes in Western Christianity are looked at as being cultic. For example, and I'm going to throw this out in the worst possible light, you teach people, Andrew, how to prophesy in your meetings. That doesn't sound like a good prescription for having spiritual accuracy and truth in the church.
Well, we do encourage our brothers and sisters to prophesy, as it is said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which Paul said builds up the church. And our burden is that, like I said earlier on, that number one, believers would not only be saved, but they would experience Christ as life subjectively in their life, so that they would live Christ and magnify Christ. And then secondly, corporately, when they come together, they would be the corporate expression of Christ as the body of Christ, which 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is a practical manifestation of that in the local churches, in the local meetings. And Paul tells us that we should desire after this more excellent gift, which is to prophesy. And I must say that when we say prophesy, we don't mean merely foretelling and saying things about what will happen to the world, to ourselves, but the word prophesy itself, the word means to speak for God, to speak forth God, and to speak God into other people. And that's what we mean when we encourage our brothers and sisters to not just be passive members in a church, but to be participants in speaking for God, speaking forth God, and speaking God into each other. And that will build up the church.
So we have to learn to scale the language barrier, because when you talk about prophesying, you're talking about exhorting and equipping and edifying and encouraging the body of Christ by your words as communicated in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, not trying to get your members to foretell the future. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but I'm going to spend time right here, right now, with Andrew and Chris talking about more distinctives of the local church movement that oftentimes get them into hot water in Western culture. For example, they're involved in prayer reading, and a lot of people think that that very function is a way in which the local church movement works their devotees into altered states of consciousness, as you'll hear when you tune in to the World Wide Web at equip.org. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Well, we're out of time. Chris, thanks for coming over from London and joining me here, and Andrew from California.
Thank you, Hank, for inviting us.
Yeah, our
it's
thanks
a
to
privilege.
You. It has been.
And we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but tune into the World Wide Web at equip.org for more of my interview with Chris and Andrew.
We'd like to thank Andrew Yu and Chris Wild for joining us on the broadcast today and for an illuminating discussion regarding the teachings of the local churches and the persecution their members have faced. If you'd like to hear bonus material of this special broadcast, please go to the World Wide Web at www.equip.org and find out more. The Bible Answer Man is on the air because truth matters. This is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Many scientists, celebrities, and politicians are claiming the world as we know it will be permanently changed, if not destroyed, if we don't act immediately to stop or even reverse the process of global warming. Celebrities like Leonardo DiCaprio and former Vice President Al Gore are spearheading the campaign to go green. But is all the hype about greenhouse gases and melting ice caps based on credible long-term research? Or is it out of touch with reality? In Hank Hanegraaff's new booklet, How Should You Think About Global Warming?, he reduces this highly politicized issue down to its irreducible minimum and provides a basis for thinking rightly about any controversial issue. Included is an interview Hank did with scholar Dr. Jay Richards on our Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll send you Hank's new resource for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI or order online at our secure website, www.equip.org. That's equip.org.